have a riff with. Fever wanna bust, break out before you get bum rushed at the
Wild Wild West.
When I roll into the
Wild Wild West,
when I stroll into
the Wild Wild West,
when I bounce into the
Wild Wild West,
Cisco, Cisco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. As always, my name is Jeff Crisco. It has been for 30-something years, and as always, I'm here with Mike Valverde. Not quite 30-something years I've been with him, but he is always here. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, so we were a couple weeks behind on this one. Mike had a little excursion down to Texas, and Mike, you were telling me you had a culinary experience that you've never had before.
Yeah. So just going down to Texas, I wanted just to try and be part of the culture as much as possible. So my friend and I decided that we'd share a plate of two things. Number one, we had alligator, and I had that for the first time. And that was really good. I have to admit, that was pretty good. And then I had Rocky Mountain oysters right before I left. And again, really good. If you don't know what Rocky Mountain oysters are, you could feel free to Google it. But I won't go into detail too much because I don't want to have, you know, people just like, you know, leaving.
Just make sure your safe search is on.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're looking at Rocky Mountain oysters. Because if right. you ask yourself, how do they get oysters in the Rocky Mountains? You'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
But alligator, huh? Yeah. Alligator is pretty good. I had it when we went to New Orleans 10 years ago. It was the first time I had it. It's pretty good. It's not bad. Plus there's something about eating a creature that's objectively higher on the food chain than you.
Yeah.
so it is a little bit of a creature domination. So we're here today. We're starting our division by division preview. Going to take a look at some sleepers, breakouts, busts, maybe some storylines from each team. Since we are behind, we're actually going to pop two podcasts into your feed today. One, the one we're recording right now is going to be the NFC and AFC Wests. Each one of us took a division and we'll talk them through. And then we'll also be recording today the AFC and NFC North. And hopefully we'll get those both into your feed today. If not, one will come out on Sunday and one will come out on Monday. So as always, you can follow us on Twitter at FBallAbsurdity is the main account. I'm JM Crisco. That's K as in kite, R-I, S as in Sam, K as in kite, O. Again, not a progenitor of the Crisco oil fortune. Mike is RFL Red Zone. And I've never asked, what is RFL? What is that? What does that stand for?
RFL stands for actually two things. One, it's the basically the acronym for Rotisserie Football League. Old kind of term for snake drafts.
Even That's though old school.
Yeah, even though we don't do really a snake draft for our league, we do a lottery draft selection. But and then the also part is just the fact, and I just completely forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
We'll just leave it at Roto Football League, which
yeah,
is
we'll
really
just leave
cool.
it at Roto Football.
That's a really cool name for it because you don't have Roto Fantasy Football Leagues because those are. Fantasy baseball and basketball, because it would be kind of hard to do actually now that I think about it. It's like whoever has the best quarterback runs all the quarterback stats for Roto. But yeah, we'll get started today. We'll start talking about the Wests. But first we'll do how we start every episode. It's going to be another round of pick your poison since it's been a couple weeks since we've done this. I'll just run it through for you folks again. I pick out four or five players that have a thematic cohesive a point with them. Last podcast we did rookie running backs not named Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, Mike, since we recorded that podcast, something bad has happened to all of them. Geist tore his ACL, Michelle's hurt, Chris Carson's apparently ahead of Rashad Penny, and Ronald Jones can't catch a football to save his life. So it's, you know, maybe Kerryon Johnson's the new hotness out of that group. It's been kind of a mess.
Yeah, you know, it's always going to be, I always say it's going to be a third rounder or fourth rounder that's going to probably lead the rookies in rushing. I'm still hooked on Royce Freeman. We'll see, but it looks like Devontae Booker is leading that. So we'll get into that later on. And
yeah, we'll see. You're going to talk about the Broncos today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this just solidified. I had a latent love for what I think they're going to do with Kerryon Johnson this year, and this kind of has me, you know, scratching my chin a little bit. Everything in front of him starting to fall apart, so maybe he's starting to look pretty good. So, but we're not talking about the rookie running backs today. This round of Pick Your Poison is mid-round tight ends, and today I picked five guys. We're going to take a look at them on their fantasy football calculator average draft position for a 12-team standard league. Those guys are tight ends 6 through 10. That would be in the middle of the sixth round, Evan Engram. At the end of the sixth round, Kyle Rudolph. In the middle of the seventh round, Delanie Walker. Middle of the eighth round, Jordan Reed. And the end of the eighth round, six picks after Jordan Reed, is Trey Burton. So it's getting to be the mid rounds. You've put together a couple quarterback or a couple wide receivers, couple running backs, starting to look at these tight ends. Which one of these five guys at their draft position are you looking to take, Mike?
I would take Delanie Walker at the seventh round.
Steady Eddie.
Two reasons. Number one, Delanie Walker is consistent as consistent can be in tight end. No matter what kind of year that Mariota has, Delanie Walker is always doing what he needs to do. As a second reason is because he's falling in the middle of the seventh round, and you have both Engram and Kyle Rudolph that you could use for either your third or fourth running back, third or fourth receiver, whatever you may need. I suggest that you don't go with a kicker in those two rounds. You might want to roll the dice. I don't know. So I like where his price tag is and his consistency. So that would be my first choice right away.
That's a really good choice. Delanie Walker sort of become this like middling pick. He's completely unsexy, but he just does it year in and year out. So to underscore your point, he joined the Titans in 2013. That year he was tight end 11. Okay. Since then he's been tight end 8, tight end 3, tight end 5, and tight end 4. And he's going to be Mariota's first or second option. Corey Davis can't stay healthy to save his life. He's hurt again. He's banged up in and out of practice. So I'm losing it on Corey Davis a little bit. But that underscores your point. Delanie Walker is just a monster. He has gotten at least 100 targets every year he has been with Marcus Mariota. So that's a beautiful pick. I like it. That's where I was going to go with this one. I am not going to go Evan Engram. Don't think he can keep that up. Kyle Rudolph, for what he's going to be, that draft price isn't something that I'm looking at. I'm going to take a swing. We talked about him before. We argued about him. Can't stay on the field. But going in the eighth round, I'll take Jordan Reed. I'll take a swing on a guy who could be a top three tight end at year's end if he can stay healthy. Now the hard part is staying healthy, but he has been over the last couple of years, he was drafted as a top three, top four tight end in both 2016 and 2017. I didn't like that price point because of his injury proclivity, but at the ninth tight end off the board in round 8, I'll take a swing at that, because when you're looking at round 8, you're also looking at guys that are part-time players who you're likely to end up cutting. Well, the first pick of the eighth round is your boy back on the field, Andrew Luck. So we're going to set him aside because that ADP is going to go through the roof. But then you have Tariq Cohen, who is in a part-time role in Chicago. We're all hoping he'll be good. CJ Anderson, part-time role. Aaron Jones, part-time role. Devin Funchess, garbage. And then you get Randall Cobb, who, okay, you could conceivably take Cobb over Jordan Reed, but where he's going, you're getting guys that are questionable, who maybe they won't get hurt, but at the same time, they're not exactly league winners, top five at their position upside. I mean, Cohen, if he's used the way we all hope he will be used, will be, what would you say, maybe top 20?
Yeah, I definitely, especially in that Nagy offense where he loves to use that kind of back, I could definitely see
him being top 20.
Top 20 in PPR leagues, of course. But I can see that.
Yeah, but then you have CJ Anderson, who Carolina won't shut up about how much they want to give Christian McCaffrey the ball. Said they're going to give it to him 25 to 30 times, but nobody does that. Only Le'Veon Bell can do that more than one year in a row. And then you get into Devin Funchess, who does nothing well.
Right.
And it's just, you know, if you're round eight's the perfect point because none of these are enticing options. Now you get to the end of round eight, you get to like a Nick Chubb, that's an upside pick, or a Jimmy G, that's an upside pick. But he's really going in an unflattering range, which is perfect. I'll take a swing at a top three tight end there because the running backs or wide receivers that I'm going to take there will probably stick around at the end of my roster for 3 weeks, 4 weeks until I need to cut him for bye weeks. Whereas if Jordan Reed gets hurt, you can cut him. You know, he'll be useful until he gets hurt. So it's locked in production until he goes down. So that's my choice there is Jordan Reed. Trey Burton, that's a lot of what if. That's the last guy on the list. I think you agree that's people projecting for what they hope Trey Burton will be. Not much of what he's actually shown in the NFL because he's only had limited time. He hasn't done it big like Jordan Reed has.
Yeah, and not only that, we don't really know what Mitchell Trubisky is going to do.
Exactly.
He looked very poor in the preseason game, which, you know, you could take with a grain of salt, but still, it's something that people were hoping for him to do well, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, he being Trubisky, I was also thinking people want him to be the 2018's version of 2017's Jared Goff, where he orchestrates this much improved offense. But Jared Goff kind of spread the ball around, except for Todd Gurley. It wasn't like Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offense having a huge lift will necessarily vault a player into huge production, because they're more than likely going to spread the ball around a lot. So with Trey Burton, I mean, I have a thing where if you're starting a tight end and you get a touchdown, that's a win. That's an automatic shoe-in to a top 10 player that week at tight end. But, you know, you have to hope they don't go to Jordan Reed. You have to hope they don't go to Allen Robinson. You have to hope Anthony Miller doesn't keep wowing people. And you have to hope they don't go to Tariq Cohen for Trey Burton to do great. So I just think they're going to spread the ball around a little too much for Trey Burton to have consistent week-to-week upside, because if you're not scoring a touchdown, that means you need to get 60, 70 yards. I just don't see him doing that on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I don't either. I kind of like him because I like the sort of the, I guess Trubisky, even though he's in his second year, sort of his rookie year, he's gotten a new offense. He's going to be able to spread his wings a little bit more. But with that comes needing a security blanket. And obviously Cohen can do that. But I also think that Burton can as well. So you have those two conflicting points where one, he has a lot of options, and even Jordan Howard's working on catching the ball now. So you have all those different options, but you also wonder, will he rely on Burton to be that security blanket for him? And I don't know. I think 40 receptions and 520 yards and 3 touchdowns is probably what I'm looking at for Trey Burton this year.
Nah, that's not any good at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Yeah. I saw a report that Jordan Howard is catching 200 to 300 balls after every practice. And to that, I say, that's pretty crazy that they're throwing him 1,000 balls after every practice for him to catch 200 or 300 of them.
Yeah.
That's a little Jordan Howard can't catch joke for y'all.
Yeah, that's probably going to be his percentage rate is about 25 to 30%.
Yeah. So okay. Cool little pick your poison discussion. So I think now we'll turn into the West's preview. And Mike took care of the AFC West. I took care of the NFC West. We'll go back and forth. And Mike, I'll start with you. Whichever AFC West team you want to start with. And since I haven't started looking at the AFC for sleeper breakouts bus specifically, I'm going to be furiously taking notes while you talk.
Okay. And I sort of want to go in alphabetical order just to make things congruent and easier. So we're going to start off with the Denver Broncos and quarterback Case Keenum. I went through his weekly points, and I was I was high on him more than I think a lot of people were. I think they like him in that round the 20th quarterback range, and I was thinking maybe 15th. But going through his weekly points, I became more and more depressed, and it was supposed to be his great year. You know, it's the reason why he got this big fat contract, and I can see now why people have him at the 20th range, and that's pretty much where I would have him as well. He's either going to be your third quarterback or he's not going to be drafted at all. And rightfully so, even though he has good weapons, he also had good weapons in Minnesota. So, you know, what are you going to do with that? I mean, is Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas that much different than Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs? I mean, even maybe you can make a case that Diggs and Thielen are better than Thomas and Sanders.
Yeah, I'd make that case at this point in their careers. Yeah, I'd definitely make that case that he had better weapons around him last year. So he's your bust. And I guess, you know, at his draft position, quarterback 20, you're looking more to quarterback leagues. And looks like he's going around guys that have much higher upside. So going just ahead of Jameis, who we talked about last time, Tyrod, Blake Bortles, and the guy who gets run every episode. We just got finished talking about him, Mitch Trubisky. So that's a good bust. I mean, I don't see him finishing any higher than number 20. Like you said, he doesn't really have upside in this offense. That sort of sounds like what your argument was, is it's like, yeah, he'll game manage the offense, but there's no upside there.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you're a game manager, that's, you know, pretty much your ceiling is 250 yards and a touchdown maybe. And you got to really have a quarterback that can get at least two touchdowns every other game. And I just don't see it happening with him at all, especially without the tight end situation being sort of in flux as well.
You don't like Jake Butt?
I like the Butt, but I don't know what he's going to be able to do. I liked him in college an awful lot. I saw a lot of sort of a limited Rob Gronkowski kind of player where he gets the ball and he can do some yak on there. But how well he's going to perform in pro football, we have to wait and see. Also, what I read was that they're going to use him in line, which means more of a blocker, and that's going to limit his opportunities as well. So we'll see. I want to see more of him just to really make sure that he's going to be someone that's going to catch the ball an awful lot.
Yeah. He's just limited. I just wanted to make a Jake Butt joke. So Case Keenum, not a player you'd recommend. And to your point as well, he doesn't run really.
Right.
So he doesn't get that nice floor. So you're really hoping and fingers crossed that you're going to get him you're going to catch him on a two touchdown week, which, if he's not a streaming option, he's not a great two quarterback league option. Like, I don't see a reason why he would be drafted except for as a third quarterback in a two quarterback league, like you said. So he's your bust. All right. Who else you got? Who's your sleeper? Or do you want to do breakout first? Sleeper, breakout, however you want to do it.
Okay. So, my sleeper is going to be Courtland Sutton.
Like
and,
that.
I think that he's going to probably be moved around an awful lot. And when you see a wide receiver being moved around the line of scrimmage quite a bit, he's more than likely going to be finding the holes in the defense. And by finding the holes in the defense means he's going to be wide open. Mm-hmm. Also, with both Demaryius and Emmanuel manning those wings, he's going to play, I think, a lot of in the slot as well, which is going to give him more options as well to be playing in that zone defense and finding those holes. So he's sort of my sleeper pick. He can't be a breakout. My breakout with the Broncos is definitely going to be Devontae Booker. I think that if I had to pick one for the team, you know, I can't go with Demaryius. I can't go with Emmanuel just because they're either going to do it or not. I don't see really much of a breakout.
They're sort of a narrow band of where they're going to be, I think, for both DT and Manny.
Exactly. So Booker sort of being in his third year, and then they're really talking him up. and want to get him involved, and he could probably block a little bit better than Freeman and maybe catch a little bit better than Freeman. But, you know, I just see Freeman sort of creeping in there, and I think it's dual role, but because I have to pick out a breakout, I think he's the best candidate for that breakout role.
Okay. Okay. Back to your Courtland Sutton point. You don't feel like it'll take an injury to Manny or Demaryius Thomas for him to get enough targets? Because I love the player. I think he's incredible. His three closest measurable comps on Player Profiler are, if you're ready for this, Alshon Jeffrey, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jordy Nelson. Those are from his combine measurables. So, dude's talented. My thing is opportunity, which if you're looking for a sleeper, there's got to be a downside to it. So, do you think he'll produce as the third wide receiver, or do you think that he is going to take over as the number two wide receiver from one of those guys? And if so, who do you think?
I don't see him taking over the number two role. The most likely the guy that he would take over would probably be Emmanuel Sanders, just because of his injury history.
Yeah.
And he's just not as good as Demaryius Thomas is. So if anything, it would be Emmanuel Sanders, but I think his opportunities are going to come in. And, you know, a third wide receiver, you're not going to be catching 80 balls and, you know, blowing up the league, but, you know, is Sanders and Thomas sleepers? Not really. Keenum is not really a sleeper. So the only guy that I went back and forth on was Freeman and Sutton, both being rookies, both needing sort of an opportunity to break through. And I just went with Sutton just because I could see him being used more in different situations than Freeman.
All right. Sounds like a good look at the Broncos this season. I don't think I have much to add. I don't necessarily agree with the Devonta Booker pick. I, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, Royce Freeman is going to be a thing this year. I think that Booker is going to be given every opportunity to hang on to the job, though. I wasn't impressed when he got his opportunity before, but like you said, who else is it going to be for a breakout? So I am also going to go in alphabetical order. I start every single thing I do with the Arizona Cardinals, because I always start in the NFC West. And I always start alphabetically first off. So the Cardinals this year, they have three new quarterbacks. They got Sam Bradford. They got Mike Glennon. They got Josh Rosen. Other than that, though, there's not a lot to say that's new. They're returning David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Ricky Seals-Jones, JJ Nelson. They sort of slid a bit of the chaff off getting rid of John Brown and Jerron Brown. They were cut loose and lit out into the world. But for my sleeper for them, it is Ricky Seals-Jones. Now, this is predicated on him keeping himself sober and him not getting any suspension from the incident at the hotel where he was drunk, wanted to use the bathroom. They wouldn't let him use the bathroom, so he shoved a guy. I haven't seen much come from that at this point, but I think even if he misses a game or two, he'll still be a great tight end option for you. Right now, he's the 24th tight end off the board. So, I mean, I've never played in a two tight end league. Mike, have you?
No, not exactly.
So for all intents and purposes outside of best ball leagues, he is undrafted. So what I did was I took a look at his limited time last season. He only played 133 snaps. He was targeted about 20% of the time, but he turned 28 targets into three touchdowns. That's a lot. That's a very high stat projection if you stat him out over a whole season. But what I did was I said, okay, let's see, let's give him as many snaps as Evan Engram. And if we keep this, the target rate the same, the yards per catch and the touchdown rate the same, he ends up with 1,174 yards and seven scores. That's Gronk territory. I don't think that he's going to keep that up, but over 10 fantasy points per game is something that no tight end really does. So that's not something that you can expect of him. But if he gets, let's say, three quarters of that production, you're sitting right there, sitting pretty at the 7-point range to get you as a tight end one every week, which is kind of what you're shooting for your tight end. And the fact that he was targeted 20% of the time last season when he was on the field is huge, because those are back end wide receiver one, front end wide receiver two market share numbers. One out of every five passes last season went to RSJ while he was on the field. So that's huge. And he's not a guy you really have to draft, like I said, but he's a guy that you're going to want to monitor. If you're like me and you take Jordan Reed and Jordan Reed dies in week three, and you have to take a look at somebody, Ricky Seals-Jones isn't the worst option. He should be on your short list. He should be on your quick dial on the waiver wire. So that's the first guy. Mike, what do you think about RSJ? Have you thought about RSJ?
Actually, I have quite a bit. I like RSJ a lot. I think he's someone, as you said, either on the radar or you, one of your last picks, and you're like looking at your roster and you go, I need a tight end. Who's out there? Yeah. You know, I think RSJ is a fine pick for that situation. I like what he did last year. I think this is his second season, but I could be wrong. And he came on at the end of last year and just did well. The only thing that concerns me about him is the fact that I don't know how useful the Cardinals are going to be in that offense for him. It might limit him, you know, a little bit, but I think that for someone on a fly, yeah, absolutely. I'd take him.
Yeah. It would be sort of a flyer pick, and there are downsides to him because, like you said, the offense is going to be kind of messy this year, but it's an undrafted player. Essentially, it's not like you're investing a top 100 pick in him or anything.
Exactly.
So I'm going to preface my 2018 fantasy football breakout with just a plea, Mike. I'm going to ask you, please don't laugh. Please don't laugh. Okay. Cause much like you and Devontae Booker, I had to find a player. That player is Mr. Injury himself, Mr. Samuel Bradford. Bradford has never done it in the NFL, but he was a first overall pick before. Last season, before his knee exploded with mystery illness, he torched the Saints for 346 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was sacked once, he wasn't picked off, and he played good enough. Now he is going to be a seat warmer for Josh Rosen. At some point, Josh Rosen will get starts. It's just the fact of the modern day NFL and a first round quarterback. They will start at some point in their first year. It just doesn't happen anymore where they don't start their first year. I think the last first round quarterback to not do that was Philip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers, whichever one of them was drafted first. But it's one of those situations where they're sitting behind an all-time player, and Rivers was behind Drew Brees, and Rodgers was behind Brett Favre. Now, I don't think Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon are going to be the guys that hold off Josh Rosen. So this is a short-term play, but if anybody on this roster can have a breakout that isn't sort of a sleeper player like a RSJ or a Christian Kirk, it's going to have to be Sam Bradford. And I don't think it's going to be Christian Kirk just because, like you said, the offense isn't going to be potent. It's not going to be that great where they're going to be able to support targets to David Johnson, targets to Larry Fitzgerald, targets to RSJ, who will be a part of their game plan this year, and enough targets to Christian Kirk for it to matter. I think Christian Kirk was drafted this year to be the heir to Larry Fitz after he retires next season.
Yeah, and if you look at Christian Kirk, you're looking at Larry Fitzgerald, not, you know.
Very much.
So it's definitely, that pick was definitely for to take over that role when he does decide to hang it up. And yeah, it's a tough situation. It really is with both Rosen and Bradford, and you just really have to roll. And I think you're right. I think it's definitely a short-term situation, maybe week 5, 6, something like that. But who knows? You know, definitely going to be able to move the ball with Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, and that running game is going to have to be respected. So that'll give some time for Bradford to make quick decisions that he's good at doing.
Yeah, and David Johnson he might be the best receiving back in the NFL. You know, he runs real routes and everything. So he could be Bradford safety blanket, which means leaning on David Johnson and his talent just benefits Sam Bradford. So it could be one of those situations as well.
Exactly.
So with my busts, there's not always an opportunity for a bust because sometimes you look at a team and you say, everybody's going pretty much where they should be. Sam Bradford's undrafted. Christian Kirk's undrafted. RSJ's undrafted. David Johnson's a top four pick. So I had to dig a little bit deeper. And this bust has two asterisks, okay? Bear with me. The 2018 fantasy football bust in standard scoring is Larry Fitzgerald on NFL.com. So when I was looking at this, I was trying to figure out who the heck is the bust going to be. So I was taking a look at all the players, where they're going and everything. And I was looking at on Fantasy Pros, they do a conglomeration of multiple sites, ADP. And I saw Larry Fitzgerald is pick number 56 in CBS, pick number 5 on Fantasy Football Calculator. On MFL, he's pick 53. But then on NFL.com, he was picked 26 in standard scoring. Now, Larry Fitzgerald's main thing at this point in his career is he's a PPR machine. Like, he defines a PPR machine. His yardage isn't great. He doesn't break too many tackles. He's getting up there in years. And he's not going to have a lot of touchdown opportunity in this offense. So I looked into it a little bit closer. Now, the Fantasy Pros expert consensus ranking for this player, Mr. Fitzgerald, is 37. Okay. 37th wide receiver. NFL.com has him as the number 13 wide receiver in standard scoring leagues, which makes no sense to me. PPR, I could see it. That is well within his range of possibilities in PPR and half PPR, right?
Right.
Yeah. Top 15 guy, easy, because he's going to roll out of bed and catch 100 balls. The only problem is those balls are going for 7 or 8 yards a pop at this point in his career. So the yardage isn't there. The touchdowns aren't there. And so you got to kind of figure out what's going on with his ranking. And on NFL.com, I would not touch him at his average draft position. I also don't draft on NFL.com, but this is sort of a lesson here for the bust here. It is look at the ranks, interrogate the ranks, see if there's an outlier and try to take advantage of it, either by zigging towards it if the player is very lowly ranked on your site versus the consensus, or zig away from it. So if you're playing on NFL.com standard scoring, just don't touch Larry Fitzgerald. Somebody's going to overpay for him, because ultimately what ends up happening, and I'm sure, Mike, you've seen this, I'm sure you've drafted on a bunch of different sites, where the experts or the prognosticators on the website, they create the rankings, which then create the average draft position. So what you're trying to do is match what you think a player would do versus the average draft position, and that's where you get your value at each round. We talked about that with the fantasy draft 101. So that was my little spiel. I don't actually think Larry Fitzgerald is going to be a bust. I think that on NFL.com, owners who draft him as the 13th wide receiver off the board in standard are going to be extremely upset at the end of the year, because he is not going to come close to returning that value in standard scoring. PPR, different story. Different story, well within the range of outcomes.
That makes like zero sense to me that he would be so high on a stand. Have they looked at his touchdowns in the last, 5 years?
I don't know. I mean, I know NFL.com just lost a lot of fantasy writers. Maybe they're on the sixth string guy or maybe they're just pulling up ranks from 2011 and just popping those right in there.
Wow. And that's not a good, that needs to be corrected. Like,
yeah, right, like yesterday, like it's absurd. I want to talk to their manager.
Yeah. Cause that's crazy. You're going to have these people who, you know, want to just draft and have fun with it and don't know that the stats, like, you know, we do, or other serious players, and going to see Larry Fitzgerald because he's a name, mm-hmm. and go, oh, wow, look at him. I'm going to grab him this in the fourth round in my standard league, and then just blow their entire draft because they went with Larry Fitzgerald in the fourth round.
Yeah, it's doing a disservice to the players on the site, I think, having him ranked there. It's just bad all around. So, all right, those are the Arizona Cardinals, and so we're going to go back to the AFC West. And Mike, who is your next team here?
So the next team will be the Kansas City Chiefs.
All righty.
And my sleeper is going to be, I'm going to call him a rookie, just Patrick Mahomes, just because. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Patrick Mahomes. I think that, I mean, I'm not crazy enough to say, okay, he's Brett Favre, but he sure throws like him and runs like him. And
he's a fun slinger. He's just out there just slinging it all around. I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, and those kind of guys I just love to watch. They're sort of my power running backs that I love just watching run over people. But instead of running over with their body, they're running them over with the football. So he's definitely my sleeper. I think he had a pretty good game in week, I believe, 17. Mm-hmm. But he did throw a touchdown and did throw an interception. So that was kind of concerning, but his accuracy rate was pretty good. So that was one of the major concerns about Mahomes, was how erratic is this guy going to be? And I think there's going to be ups and downs with him, but the fact that he can run with the ball in PPR leagues, that's going to be a huge bonus. Plus the fact that you have two wingmen in Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, and he can hit them all day long. He's just going to whoever has the open man or the man on man coverage and is 5 yards away while that DB is trailing, guess what? Mahomes is just going to just lay it out there for him. So I'm excited to see him. I can't wait to see him play in regular season. And because of those reasons, because I think he's going to be a big star in this league, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes as my sleeper pick.
Yeah, that is a huge upside play. And one aspect to that you didn't mention is Kareem Hunt. Hunt was one of the better pass catching backs in the league last year. So a lot like what Sam Bradford might do, dump the ball off to David Johnson, let him do the hard work. Pat Mahomes might do as well with Kareem Hunt to help him not take so many hits. I think he will run, and I do like running quarterbacks for the nice floor that they can provide, the yardage floor. I'll say it again every time a running quarterback comes up: rushing yards are worth 2.5 times as much as passing yards. So if you put it that way, running quarterbacks, it kind of puts into perspective a guy like Mahomes or Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick back in the day, the advantage that they can give you with their legs just by creating that nice floor. So I do like that pick. I think the market has corrected on Mahomes, because I think for a while he was going in the top 10, but right now on Fantasy Football Calculator, he's 15 in round 10. So that's exactly kind of the sweet spot where I think he should be going as an upside back end quarterback one or quarterback two high end.
So yeah, I definitely would love to have him anywhere from 14 through 20, but I just don't see that happening. I think if you're going to want Patrick Mahomes, you're going to definitely have to be in 1 through 12. So he's going to be a starter for an owner somewhere along your league somewhere. And you bring up an excellent point with Hunt. And also, I also like the fact that Travis Kelce and this is what I think they're going to do with both Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, is they're going to, with those guys running deep patterns, underneath is going to be Travis Kelce. And he's just going to have so much space to roam that it's also going to be a great security blanket for Patrick Mahomes. So not only do you have Hunt underneath, but you also have Kelce in the middle of the field as well.
Yeah, he just has too many weapons to sort of fail spectacularly. I mean, he does have the interception problem, but I think Andy Reid will be able to do a great amount to help rein him in this year and say, hey, look, you have enough weapons. You know, I'm going to scheme. At least one of them will be open on every play. And if they're not open, just run the ball. Don't try to force it into tight windows. That was the Jim Harbaugh with Colin Kaepernick game plan, because not to detract from Mahomes, but what people don't realize is Colin Kaepernick had one of the lowest interception rates in history, despite being a completely erratic quarterback. And that's because he was coached to run the ball. If nothing's there, don't force it in. And I think that same philosophy will help with Pat Mahomes, will help limit those interceptions come 2018 and help boost his scoring floor, because he'll be rushing the ball for 4 or 5 yards at a time instead of trying to force the ball in to not open players. But the chance of a player not being open is also very low because the weaponry around him is incredible.
Yes, exactly. And
speaking of his weaponry, who do you want to talk about next?
So the bust, and the bust is, in my opinion, because of where he's being drafted, is Kareem Hunt. And I just don't see him finishing out in first round territory, just because of the fact that I think Spencer Ware is going to be the goal line back in that offense.
Yeah, I can see that.
I also think that he's going to have a role somewhere along the lines. I'm also expecting not to be a surprise or even think about drafting, but I see Damian Williams sneaking in there and taking some carries away as well. So not only are you going to have Ware taking some of that percentage, but you're also going to have Damian Williams. They didn't bring him over from Miami for no reason. And I see him sneaking in there as well. So I just see from what Hunt had last year was just him. He did that all by himself. And that's not going to be the case this year unless there's injuries abound. So to say he's the sixth pick of the draft or somewhere around there, I just can't buy that. I my money isn't there. I'd rather go in a different direction. Even someone like Melvin Gordon, who we'll talk about a little bit later, mm-hmm. someone to that effect, maybe Odell Beckham, whoever is there at six, I probably would go over than Kareem Hunt.
I do think Kareem Hunt is part of sort of this itchy group of three in the top 10 running backs, along with Alvin Kamara and Leonard Fournette, that I think have the greatest chance of not returning their value in 2018. I'm not saying I don't think they will, but I'm saying they kind of they're all three of them are top 9 running backs. And I think there's, you know, Kamara's hyper efficiency last season working against him. Fournette's always hurt. And then, like you said, Kareem Hunt's backfield is suddenly very crowded. And so those are their chances of not returning value sort of increases. So I like that pick as a bust, but I understand you're couching it in like 60 different layers of you know, he'll still be useful, but he's not going to return the value.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it'll veer into hot take territory if you don't. So since you went nice and calm on your take on Kareem Hunt, I expect a very spicy hot take with their next player, which is
Sammy Watkins,
and he will be a breakout.
Ooh, and the reason why I like Sammy Watkins, number one, is the fact that I think Tyreek Hill is going to be more of the decoy because he's faster, and they're going to place not only a man on Hill, but they're going to be doubling him up, bringing that safety over to the side. And Sammy Watkins has enough speed and is strong enough to beat man on my coverage, press coverage, whatever kind of coverage you're going to want on Sammy Watkins. He's going to break that. The only, of course, the concern that I have and that everybody else has is his health. Can he stay healthy? When he does, he's tremendous. If you look at last year with the Rams and they had even more weapons, I think that he did pretty well with the group that they had. Another negative, of course, I think is Patrick Mahomes. If Mahomes doesn't do what I think he can do and is just struggles as a rookie, then he, you know, of course that's going to affect Sammy Watkins. But I just see where he's being drafted comparable to where Tyreek Hill's being drafted. I just think he adds so much more value, and I would definitely pass over Hill for Sammy Watkins.
Wow. So is that, if all prices were equal, you would take Watkins over Hill, or is that Watkins at his draft price and Hill at his draft price, you'd prefer Watkins?
I prefer Watkins' draft price over Hill just because I see it at about equal. that both are going to have probably equal amount of numbers than at the end of the season. So since Hill's going to be drafted probably a few rounds before Watkins will be, then I got to go with the cheaper player who's going to produce just as much as the more expensive player.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. I think one of the things that I like to do is if a situation is questionable, you're not sure who's going to take the lead, invest in the guy who's cheaper. In this case, you're kind of questioning whether Hill or Watkins will be the receiver to own in Kansas City. So why not take your swing on Sammy Watkins, which let's take a look here. Tyreek Hill is wide receiver 12 right now in the third round, and Watkins is wide receiver 28 in the sixth round. So 16 spots later, three rounds later. So great idea. Great, great value with Sammy Watkins. And it does also play to the point that there's going to be a lot of weaponry going around in the Chiefs offense that could be high flying. I mean, the answer at the end of the year could be both. Like, would you be surprised if it was a Thielen Diggs situation where both were top 12 wide receivers?
Yeah, I could see that happening easily, especially if Mahomes is you know, what we think he is. Yeah, I definitely could see both of them falling in the top 12.
Yeah, so why not take the guy several rounds later if you think they both have a similar upside this year? So great pick. I like that Watkins pick. All right, so nice transition from Sammy Watkins' 2018 team to Sammy Watkins' 2017 team. The Los Angeles Rams moved to LA so they can move up higher alphabetically. I do believe that's why they did that. But for their 2018 season, a lot of people are in on Jared Goff as a sleeper candidate. I don't think that Goff is going to be a huge sleeper candidate this year. I think he's probably going to return the same value that he's being drafted at, you know, that round 10 to 15. I think he'll settle in there nicely. A lot of that has to do with Todd Gurley taking a lot of touchdowns from him. But I do think that the passing game will produce both the team's sleeper and the team's breakout, mostly because Todd Gurley is going to take over everything in the running game unless he gets hurt. So the sleeper is, I'm not as in on him as a sleeper as I was, for example, Ricky Seals-Jones. But if there is one player on this team who is a sleeper candidate, he's going with pick 370. So that is in the 37th round of a 10-team league, pick 370, tight end 49 off the boards. That is Gerald Everett. And here's the reason why. The wide receiver core for the Rams is very, I don't want to say crowded, but there's a lot of talent there. They lost Sammy Watkins, but they still have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Both Kupp and Woods are below 6 foot. Two. They're both smaller guys. Cooper Kupp is the tallest wide receiver on the team this year at 6'1". Gerald Everett has a few inches and a whole bunch of pounds on Cooper Kupp. So I think he becomes the preferred passing weapon in the red zone and in the 10 zone. I think it'll lead to a lot of touchdowns. He was highly drafted in 2017, and they drafted him to be a receiving tight end. So he didn't do much last year, which most first-year tight ends don't, but I think he will make an impact this season. He'll at least return on tight end 49. Whether or not he'll be tight end 12 or what have you, I doubt that, but I do think that he's a welcome streaming option. If, for example, the 49ers can't save tight end or stop tight ends to save their lives for the fourth straight year, he's a good streaming option against the Niners this year, because I can almost guarantee that he scores at least one touchdown against the 49ers in their two games this year. So that's just a name to know, much like RSJ, not a guy I would recommend drafting at all, but he does have the greatest chance of vastly outproducing his draft stock.
Yeah. And if anybody, it's probably going to be him. The fact that they drafted him, I can't remember where they drafted him. Was it the second round of the draft last year?
I do believe so. It looks like, yes, the 44th overall pick.
So they're going to give him every opportunity as possible to see what he can do. And like you said, it's hard just because of the fact that it's so overloaded. But why not? I mean, definitely, like you said, another dart throw that could pay off just because they're probably going to give him the opportunity to see if he's worth that second round, selection.
Yep. Yeah. It's not only that, but he's the only real tight end game in town. So, if they need a guy to throw it up to in the red zone, a big guy, I know Cooper Kupp, was one of the most targeted, wide receivers in the red zone last year, but, I think that Everett sort of salts away some of those, that target share. So speaking of Cooper Kupp, he is my breakout for them. The three passing weapons in Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp, which I can't believe I didn't mention Brandon Cooks when I was mentioning their wide receiver options, but they're going at picks 50, 83, and 91 respectively. Cooks is, I mean, we won't argue or quibble. He's the most talented of the three, but that means he's also more likely to get the best coverage and leave a lot more opportunities for Woods and Kupp. Personally, this becomes the, if things are questionable, take the cheapest option. And in this case, that would be Kupp. It's that sort of strategy or thinking. So last year, Cooper Kupp had 869 receiving yards and 5 scores. And if he progresses that a little bit this year, let's say give him 1,006. Okay. So an incremental increase in skill, that puts him firmly in the wide receiver 2 group. That sort of, 18 to 22. He's firmly in there at 8.5 fantasy points per game in standard scoring. And he's coming as wide receiver 36 outside the top 90 picks. So he is sort of a more of a breakout candidate this year. Even if his red zone targets go down, I think his overall targets will go up, and he has an opportunity to increase by, just a paltry, 10 to 15% and return good value for you.
I definitely like him in PPR leagues, and he was actually kind of surprising to me about how many touchdowns he scored as well. Being his size, as you mentioned, is not typical tall receiver kind of size, but not all tall receivers are good goal line receivers either. So I like it. I think that I have a lot of faith in Kupp playing in that slot area, and I think he's going to return some good investment, especially with Cooks now there. It's definitely better for Kupp than Sammy Watkins, who's injured all the time and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so for my bust, I am hesitant to speak the words because I was down on him last year, but pure touchdown regression, I think, makes Todd Gurley not worth the first overall pick in your fantasy football drafts. He will still be very good. He is an extremely good talent and extremely quality offense. But he is not, I mean, a lot of places I'm seeing him as the number one overall pick, despite the fact that before the last two games of the season, or weeks 15 and 16, the last two games of the fantasy season, when Gurley went Super Saiyan and scored 6,000 touchdowns and ran for 12,000 yards in two games. No, I'm not bitter because I played him both weeks. And I lost all the games in week 15 and I lost all the games in week 16. So I won no leagues last year specifically because of Todd Gurley. But I mean, the guy had 19 touchdowns last year, and just pure touchdown regression tells you that he is not going to be on the receiving end of six receiving touchdowns this year. And the 13 rushing touchdowns were a little high as well, because he just burst through in the last two games. Before those last two games, Ezekiel Elliott was averaging more fantasy points than him per game before he had, in the last three games of the season he played, weeks 14, 15, and 16, he had 2 rushing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns and a receiving touchdown, and 2 receiving touchdowns. So you can see how right there at the end of the season, there was just a whole, he added 8 touchdowns to his total in 3 games. So, and those 8 were, he was at 11 before then. So I just think just pure touchdown regression, he's not going to return that first overall pick value. I'm not taking him there, but even though he is the consensus. So he's not a real bust in the bust sense of the word. He's just, in the truest sense, a player who will not return on his value. I believe that to be Todd Gurley. In the article I wrote, I put Legatron just because I didn't want people coming at me. I put Legatron, Greg Zuerlein, because he's going in the 120s by ADP. He's going outside the last two rounds. Don't do that either. But my bust for these purposes is Todd Gurley, just pure touchdown regression. He's not going to score 19 touchdowns again. And David Johnson is back, who David Johnson's 2016 was higher than Todd Gurley's 2017. So if those two players just recreate their last two seasons, guess who's not going to be the number one overall running back this year? It's going to be Mr. Todd Gurley. So I just don't think he's worth the number one overall pick. Is he still a top four selection? Absolutely. I'm not a hot take machine. I just don't think he's going to be the number one overall yet again.
You know, the one rule that I always stand by is if the majority thinks that person's the number one player off the board, never draft him as your number one player off the board.
There you go. You're not going to be ruled by the tyranny of the majority. I like it.
Yeah, and it usually never turns out that way. It's sort of like March Madness. The number one seed usually isn't going to be the team that's winning the tournament. So, I always look at the consensus and see if that player is the number one, and if I have the number one pick, I'm going elsewhere.
Yeah, I think this year I was thinking it through. I think in standard scoring, I'm probably going to go with Zeke. Both standard scoring and PPR, I'm going David Johnson. I believe in that dude. Last time we heard from him, he wanted to go for 1,000 and 1,000. I think the offense will let him do it because there's nobody else there really that'll take away from him. I think DJ is probably my first overall pick in standard scoring and in PPR, which if Waleed from the website is listening to this, he'll be happy because that was his number one overall pick months ago, and he sort of convinced me of it. So from the discussion of the LA Rams, we now turn our attention to LA Chargers, maybe?
Yeah, I think they wanted to get in on that bit of you know, having a quicker name mentioned in the alphabet.
Get up faster. Yeah. They were dumped all the way down there with the Niners, down there with the Sands.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, yeah, we got to get some of that action. I'm going to go with the sleeper again, as my first, selection. And my sleeper is Mike Williams.
Yes.
And I like Mike Williams a lot, not only because I think
I share a name.
Yeah, we share the same name. That was my number one reason. you know, and that's why I picked the players that I picked, because if they have the same name as I do, they're a shoo-in.
Michael Jordan, Michael B. Jordan. I mean, you can't miss with guys named Mike.
Exactly. Everybody wants to be like Mike.
Exactly.
You know, there's two things that I really, really like about Mike Williams. Three things, actually. Number one, and sort of not a great statistical reason, but he was drafted in the first round with the 7th selection for a reason. You know, he was the best receiver in that class. And even though he didn't show it last year, he struggled. I think the most catches he had during the year was 5. Yeah. So he had 5 catches was the most he had during the whole season. So, yeah. And then he had a complete 0 for touchdowns. So, yeah, not good.
Not so far. Not so far, so good.
Not so far, not so good. No. Mm-hmm. But it comes to my second reason. And now my second reason is opportunity. And with Antonio Gates being still unsigned, and the fact that Hunter Henry, which I had probably would be maybe my sleeper pick or breakout player this year, is now out with an ACL. That means that 32% of the red zone targets will be available. And wow. Phillip Rivers loves touchdowns. He is the antithesis to Matt Ryan. So that leads me to my third reason, and as we were talking about a little bit, size. 6'4", 218 pounds. I think Phillip Rivers can see him all day long. He could just stand in the corner and alley-oop the ball to Mike Williams, and he's going to be coming down with touchdowns. He might even become the new Chris Carter. All he does is catches touchdowns. And I think that Mike Williams is definitely going to be the breakout player for the, I was going to say San Diego, but I caught myself, the Los Angeles Chargers.
San Diego in your heart. I like that.
Always. Yeah, I don't think that'll ever change.
Yeah. I think that that's a great pick. I love that red zone stat that like one third of their red zone targets are up in the air, and Keenan Allen can't come down with all of them. He's kind of capped out on his target share anyway. So, you know, it'll be harder for them to throw more balls Keenan Allen's way. So I love that. So who would be your breakout this season for the Los Angeles Chargers of Los Angeles?
So that was my breakout, but
I'm sorry, your sleeper.
My sleeper, I was debating either between Austin Eckler or Tyrell Williams, and I was going back and forth, but I just think Mike Williams is, because he's going to be the breakout, that's going to sort of eliminate Tyrell Williams. So my sleeper pick is Austin Eckler. And Melvin Gordon has just been someone that's been carrying the ball an awful lot. And he's one of those guys that puts up a lot of numbers, a lot of solid numbers, touchdowns. He can catch the ball. He can do so many different things. But when you're looking at sort of his yards per carry average, it kind of makes you want to grimace because he is under 4.0 yards per carry average. And the reason why his numbers are always higher than most is because he carries the ball close to 300 times a game. The last 2 years, 254, and last year, 284 yards per game. And in those 2 years, 3.9.
Wait, now, I'm sorry. You said 284 yards per game. Do you mean 284 carries?
I'm sorry. Yes.
I was going to say 284 yards per game. How? That's pretty good.
That's Hall of Fame numbers right there. I meant 284 carries for the season. And yards per game, that's a good subject to bring up. Only 70. And if he's carrying nearly, that's only 16 times less from 300 carries. And he's only gaining 69 yards per game. Yikes. That's just not good. And on top of that, he only had two 100-yard games. And he did score 8 times, just like last year or the year before, he scored 10 times. So those are the kind of numbers that are putting him in the first round. Also, what also puts him in the first round, of course, is his receptions. 58 last year, 41 the year before, and he scored 4 times in the air. So he had 12 total touchdowns. And anytime you can get 10 or more touchdowns from a player, you're looking almost at the first round pick, right? Almost just because of those reasons. And then when you add 1,100 yards, you know, that's what does it. But is he going to break down? I think he's definitely in that category. In 3 seasons, he's not played 16 games twice, 14 games his rookie year, and 13 games his second season. He did play 16 games last year, but I just see a breakdown. And because of that breakdown, I see Austin Eckler is sort of coming up and having that kind of season where you're expecting Melvin Gordon to do great, at least first round greatness, and then all of a sudden here comes this one player that you don't count on and
mucks it all up.
And I believe Eckler is sort of that kind of candidate.
So I like Austin Eckler. I like that take. That's a good call. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that your bust is Melvin Gordon. You ran down a whole mess of stats. I stopped. I said, are we talking about Austin Eckler here, or are we talking about Melvin Gordon? Because I thought I missed something. So I'm guessing that's your bust, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're one in the same.
And for all the reasons why I mentioned, all those negative for Austin or positives for Austin Eckler to sort of have his comeuppance is all the reasons why Melvin Gordon is my bust.
I like that. And I think, you know, even if Gordon doesn't bust, I think Eckler showed down the stretch last season that he has the ability to produce alongside Melvin Gordon. Because there was a stretch where he was a top 30, top 28 running back, 4 out of 5 weeks. So he can produce alongside Gordon. So I like actually both those picks. Gordon, I think, will continue to get the volume until, like you said, he breaks. He might break this year. That's a possibility. But I do like Eckler as well. So perfect. So now let's turn our attention to my favorite team, a team who I'm going to give some insight that not a lot of people are talking about for one of the players here, because I went to an open practice and I saw something that made me scratch at my chin a little bit. So that's going to be the San Francisco 49ers. I had to switch this up a little bit because the original sleeper I had was Matt Breida. Matt Breida separated his shoulder in the first preseason game. Should be back for the regular season, but I think he will end up staving off Raheem Mostert, who looked pretty good in the first preseason game. Joe Williams looked okay. I never understood the Joe Williams love. But instead, Matt Breida, because he's currently hurt, my sleeper is Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis was drafted in the second round this year. Some had him as a top three wide receiver talent in the draft. I know Matt Waldman had him as his number one overall wide receiver. He is fast. He is great. He's very good at what the 49ers need, which is a not just straight burner like Marquise Goodwin, and a not just possession guy like Pierre Garçon. I think that he's going to fill that intermediate role very well, and he's still fast enough to sort of take the top off the defense if he needs to. But I think that the deep routes are still Marquise Goodwin's territory, and he's going pretty much undrafted. Dante Pettis is, so it's not like this is a guy that you have to draft early or even at all. It's just a guy to sort of watch. It's likely, you know, when Pierre Garçon, because he's getting old, when he gets hurt again, he's going to be the big week 5, week 6 pickup to go alongside Marquise Goodwin. I think he's going to man the slot. I think he's going to take a lot away from Trent Taylor, who did that last season. I think Taylor might be left just on special teams, which hurts him because Pettis is also a special teams maven. He's incredible as a kick returner. So I think that he's a very deep sleeper, deep. Not a guy you have to draft, but since Matt Breida got hurt and I envisioned a timeshare for McKinnon and Breida, with Breida hurt, I just had to go somewhere else. And in this case, that somewhere else was Dante Pettis.
You know, I think Dante Pettis is limited. I was really surprised that Matt Waldman had him as his number one guy. I still don't understand that. But
that was weird for me too.
Yeah. But as far as what you're saying, I think it's realistic. He's not someone that you're going to be looking to draft, but who knows? I mean, he has the speed, he has, you know, all those, and if he's going to be playing in the slot, that's going to mean something. So we'll see what happens, but I definitely can see what you're talking about there.
Yeah. And then, so if he's the sleeper, the breakout, and this is what I saw sort of in practice with the 49ers when I went to the open practice, I think it's going to be Marquise Goodwin. I think he's whatever the Bills screwed up for him for years, Kyle Shanahan is sort of fixing. And what I saw in the 49ers open practice was that they broke out into drills. They had a wide receiver and cornerback drill. And then they had a quarterback drill where they were throwing various different routes to players. But that player was just Marquise Goodwin. He was just running this. He was just running route after route over and over again. Kind of what I saw from that is, okay, he doesn't need this work with the cornerbacks. He needs to get the timing down with all the quarterbacks that we have so that he can be the number one this year. And I think Pierre Garçon's just getting older. I think that they're going to move away from him a little bit. I think if they need 5 or 6 yards on third down, they'll still go to Pierre Garçon because that's what he can give you. But I think the big breakout this year, and I would draft him above Pierre Garçon at this point, would be Marquise Goodwin. And right now he's going as wide receiver 40. And I think he's going to ended up solidly within the top 30 picks, if not the top 25, by the time the season's over. So that's sort of how I feel about it. And last season with Jimmy G, he was sitting at 6 catches rounded up for about 76 yards a game. And he did it not just running the 9 route, which is pretty much all he did in Buffalo, where they completely misused him. So I think that another year with Kyle Shanahan, a full year with Jimmy G, I think Marquise Goodwin's going to be the breakout for this team.
Interesting that you picked Goodwin. But I can see why. What about McKinnon? Why not him as your breakout?
Because he's my bust, Michael.
Oh, well, there you go. McKinnon, I knew I was going to be helpful sooner or later.
Here's the reason why Jerick McKinnon is a bust. I don't think Jerick McKinnon is a bad player. I think that Jerick McKinnon tops out as a part-time running back. He's shown it every year in Minnesota. I think that he is ideally suited as being a 1A to a 1B in Matt Breida. But his draft stock has gotten completely out of control. He is a let me double-check this, because when I ran the numbers, he was a top 12 running back. So let me double check this. But while we're talking about him, he did have an injury scare today. Everything seems to be fine. He's got a hammy. They did an MRI. Everything was good. But as for his average draft position, right now on Fantasy Football Calculator, he is sitting at, he dropped a little bit. Okay. Running back 15, sitting behind Mixon, McCaffrey, McKinnon, sort of three guys that are in a similar situation. I just think that he is going to be a part-time back. I think that for a while, and this take of him being the bust is kind of muted now because his ADP is slipping. He was up around a running back 12. He was going as a number one running back, and I couldn't co-sign that. So that's why he was my bust. I think that whether it be Mostert or Joe Williams or Matt Breida, I think somebody's splitting time with Jerick McKinnon. And they said that earlier in the week. I think it was Dan Graziano had a report that McKinnon is set to be a shared time back. He's not going to be a bell cow back, which when he was going as a wide receiver 1 was the sort of thing where I was kind of cautioning people to stay away from him. But, you know, at running back 15, running back 15 through 20, somewhere in there, I think that's a more appropriate range for Jerick McKinnon to be going. So he was my bust. That bust is a little bit tempered now since he is starting to drift now. But in the article that I wrote, the 49ers sleeper breakout bust, I noted that at the beginning of the when the NFL draft ended, so April 29th, the day after the NFL draft ended, he had an ADP at the back end of the fifth round. I'm sorry, the beginning of the fifth round, on a 12-team lead per Fantasy Football Calculator. Between then and July 25th, when the 49ers started their offseason program in earnest, when camp started, his ADP had jumped him all the way up to the second round. Jerick McKinnon hadn't done anything in that time span. The 49ers did nothing in that time span. But hype built on hype built on hype built on hype to vault him all the way up to the second round when nothing about the team changed, nothing about Jerick McKinnon changed in that time frame from the time that he was a fifth round pick to the time he became a second round pick. So that was sort of my cautionary tale, is to beware of ADP hype inflation, because same thing happened about 3 or 4 years ago with CJ Anderson. He ended up in the first round by average draft position, and he was a part-time back. So just cautioning, just Jerick McKinnon is my bust. I just think he's more suited for a part-time role.
And I agree. I think that at 12, he's definitely not worth it. At 15, I was starting to get interest, but when has he not been a part-time player?
Exactly.
There's a reason why he just doesn't all of a sudden become the full-time back. And I think we saw on Sunday or Saturday, whenever they had their game, why he's,
oh yeah, he was not good.
Yeah. He's not built to do that. And just is not capable of being a full-time back. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. He was, it hurts my heart because I want him to be good because the 49ers paid him so dang much money, but it just is what it is. I can't let my 49ers fan goggles stop me from seeing what's right in front of me. So, all right. So those are my sleeper breakout busts for my favorite team, my San Francisco 49ers. So Mike, now we're going to finish out the AFC, and who are we going to go with?
So I'm going to go with the breakout player, and it's sort of interesting, I think, being the breakout player, because it would probably be the last player you're going to think would be someone to that effect, and that name is Jordy Nelson. I think that with Jordy Nelson, a lot of people have just crossed him off because he had such a bad year last year. And he's been dealing with injuries, and he's 33,000 years old or something to that effect.
You know, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. And, you know, all those reasons are good, valid reasons. But I think what we saw from him in the preseason game is exactly how the Raiders are going to use him. Short, intermediate passes, and he's going to get a lot of them. So in a PPR league, oh, man, I'm going to be digging on him, because guess I don't know where he's going right now as far as like Fantasy Calculator or any of those sites, but I'm pretty sure it's probably 11th, 12th round, those kind of that kind of area. And that is just for someone who's going to catch close to maybe 90 passes this year, at least 80, I believe. And wow. That far, I mean, you have to look at Michael Crabtree from last year was a bad year for all the Raiders, but the last couple of years before last year, you know, Crabtree was up there. So
traditional Michael Crabtree role in Oakland sort of deal is what you're talking about.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. And in that role, he's outproduced Amari Cooper, who I think definitely John Gruden is sort of hyping on, sort of that distraction kind of guy. We're going to be Amari Cooper's going to be everything, and he's going to be our number one guy. And you know how our teams perform when I'm coaching with our number one guy. And, you know, I think that's all distraction, because guess what? I don't think Amari Cooper's a number one guy. I think Amari Cooper's a number two guy. And for that reasons alone, I think Jordy Nelson is going to not only play the Michael Crabtree role, but again, beat out Amari Cooper. So stay away from Amari Cooper this year. And so I guess you can see where that's leading.
Bust?
Yeah, you're definitely seeing where that's leading. So as my sleeper pick, I'm going with Jordy Nelson.
All right. What's funny is, so your bust is Amari Cooper, your sleeper is Jordy Nelson?
Yes, definitely Amari Cooper is my bust, just because everybody thinks, okay, this is the year. It's finally the year. He's going to be, you know, this great receiver, but we always know why he was drafted. And, you know, as the second receiver picked off the board, and no, I'm sorry. He's a good, very good receiver, but he is not a number one guy.
See, last year I had a big campaign because Michael Crabtree was going as a wide receiver. Amari Cooper was going as a wide receiver one. My big campaign was that was just wishcrafting. That was, you want him to be a wide receiver one, therefore you're drafting him there, even though it doesn't bear out that that's what he'll be. But what's funny is for this year, I kind of like his price. You know, it's more reasonable this year with Cooper going as... Oh my gosh, I lost him. There he is. Round four. That's a perfectly fine pick as a wide receiver too. And then Jordy Nelson is going in round seven. So actually I would flip those. I don't think Jordy Nelson is going to do much compared to Amari Cooper. That's just what I think from Jordy Nelson last season without Aaron Rodgers, without that mind meld. And then John Gruden's history. His wide receiver two doesn't do much, but his wide receiver one just sort of gets blasted with targets, and I just think that is going to be Cooper. It sounds like you think that the more targets will go to Nelson, and that's the joy of fantasy football. We don't know.
Yeah, and that's what makes it fun. I just don't buy it. I just have a hard time saying, okay, if Michael Crabtree can beat Amari Cooper for 3 years, why in the world would Jordy Nelson not do it? Jordy Nelson is definitely a better receiver than Michael Crabtree ever has been. So we're going to say that that's going to change now because of what, John Gruden? I don't buy it.
Okay, that's fair enough. So, all right, who's the last guy you want to talk about with the Raiders? We got to hurry this up here.
Okay, so breakout, Marshawn Lynch. And yeah, if you look at the first few games, the first, I think it was 5 or 6 games, you're going to say, what are you talking about? The dude just absolutely did nothing. But, well, I'm not going to be talking about the first 5 games. I'm going to be talking about the Marshawn Lynch that they finally said, okay, well, why don't we just give the guy that everybody's called beast mode for the last how many years the dang ball, and let's see what he does. And guess what? He tore it up. And not only that, but I love the price range. He's going easily as probably a third or fourth back, and he's going to be running that ball up and down the field. Forget about Doug Martin. Doug Martin has never been any good. The only 2 years that he really had that was anything special was his rookie year that wasn't even all that special, and his contract year a few years ago. Coincidence? Not. So forget about Doug Martin. Doug Martin has never really been all that good. It's going to be the Marshawn Lynch show, and for his price range, he's going to finish as a number 2 running back, and you're going to get a steal. So I'm all about the beast mode.
Beast mode's a good pick. I like it. I'm sort of the same thing with Doug Martin. Like, I'm not convinced. And I think that the draft price on him is great. He's a number 27 running back off the board, and he's sort of the start of, actually, he's in the middle of this like questionable range. It's kind of crazy. He's going after 3 rookie running backs, Penny Freeman Jones, and before another one, Sony Michel. But then you get to other part-time guys, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, and then another rookie, Kerryon Johnson. And then you have Marshawn Lynch nestled right in there. I think that on actual draft day, when rubber hits the road, not just these mock drafts, I think that Lynch will slip even more because he's not sexy. He doesn't have that league-winning upside, but he is that sort of glue guy that you do need to make sure that your fantasy team has consistent contributions just in case all of your high upside swings sort of don't pan out. So I like that pick as a breakout sort of bounce back, like, hey, don't forget about beast mode sort of player.
Yeah. One more quick thing here is the fact that most owners, they're not going to remember Marshawn Lynch as someone that had a great last 6, 7, 8 weeks, just because the Raiders flamed out way before then. And the fact that he started off so slow, that they're going to remember Marshawn Lynch as someone that didn't do much. And I think that's what pushing his price point so low. And just hope that he keeps quiet during the preseason, because if he blows it up, then that's going to mess with everybody's mind. But I think those couple other points are why he is as low as he is.
Yeah, and I think there's also his age, you know, and the fact that he was retired before he came back last year, and he sort of has the type of personality that, would you be super surprised if he just hung it up after like the 3rd preseason game? Like, he was just like, nah, I'm just not interested in doing this anymore. Like, he sort of has that personality. So there's not a lot of players where it's justified, where you're like, this guy could retire at any point in the season and it wouldn't surprise me. Marshawn Lynch is that kind of guy. He's just that sort of like, not that he doesn't care, but he's sort of marches to the beat of his own drum. So, all right. So from one team that my San Francisco 49ers hate, the Oakland Raiders, to the other team, well, other than the Dallas Cowboys and Los Angeles Rams, but the Seattle Seahawks. There are a team very much in transition. They might not have Doug Baldwin this year. I don't think things are going to end well with that knee that flared up on him. And they have so much question mark at running back. They lost Jimmy Graham. They lost Paul Richardson. It'll be interesting to see what they do this year. But for them, if Doug Baldwin does miss a bunch of time, I think that Tyler Lockett, going as the wide receiver 60 right now, is a huge steal in drafts. And I think a lot of the questions around what Baldwin's status will be is sort of driving his price down. If it's announced that Baldwin needs some sort of surgery, I can see Lockett's ADP flying up the boards, or Amara Darboh maybe, but I'm going to go with Lockett because he's been in the system a while. If Baldwin misses significant time, the Seahawks will be without 290 targets and almost 3,400 air yards missing from Jimmy Graham, Paul Richardson, and Doug Baldwin last season. So there's a lot of space to fill, some big shoes, and Tyler Lockett will be a volume-based sleeper pick if Doug Baldwin does miss some significant amount of time.
Yeah, and but you know the hard thing is, well, maybe not really. Doug Baldwin is sort of, if I remember right, hasn't always been a healthy player. So you might be onto something there.
Actually, I think he has been. I think that's the thing. Is this is weird? Hold on, let me double check that. Mr. Doug Baldwin has missed. Can I get a drum roll while I look this up? He has missed. I don't think he's missed a game in his career. That can't be right. Because I pay very close attention to the Seahawks. I can't remember a time that he missed a game.
Let's see.
If you're this far in the podcast, you're stuck with us now. he missed two games in 2012, and that is it. And that was before he became a full-time player. He only started, so that might not even have been an injury. That might have just been he wasn't being used. So right. Since he became a full-time player, he's played in 16 games, and he has only not started eight of them, seven of those being in 2013. So that's why the knee injury is so concerning. It's because he's not the type of guy. He's not Doug Martin, who kind of malingers every single injury. We just talked about him with the Raiders. He is a guy that sort of plays through things. So if he's already hurting, that's not great. So yeah. my next guy I want to talk about, the breakout, or I guess the sleeper, is Chris Carson. I don't know what they're doing, and this is because I needed to find a sleeper, but I just want to talk about just people don't want to believe what Pete Carroll is telling them, even though he's done this before. People want to say, well, they drafted Rashad Penny with a first-round pick. If you go back in time to Russell Wilson's rookie season, they were going, well, they gave Matt Flynn all this money. They're not going to let some mid-round rookie take over for Matt Flynn. Well, that mid-round rookie became one of the best quarterbacks in the entire league. Granted, Chris Carson is doesn't carry the same pedigree. He was an extremely late pick. I believe he was a seventh-round pick. But at the same time, you want to listen to what they're telling you just a little bit. I feel like you have to listen. And at his average draft position, he's the 46th running back off the board. He's the type of guy that you take a dart throw on because maybe the Seahawks aren't lying to you. Maybe Rashad Penny just isn't ready yet. And in their first preseason game, Carson kind of looked a little bit better than Penny. And I talked before that he was too one-dimensional to take over the role, but I mean, maybe that's the dimension that they want. They want Chris Carson to be a bowling ball. They want that Marshawn Lynch that they had before, just a guy to plow through offenses. So I'm not happy with it. I think it's dumb, but at the same time, you got to listen to what they're doing. And if you're taking a running back that late, you're going to want a running back with opportunity, and that's Chris Carson.
Do you think by the end of the preseason, no matter who's the starter, let's just say Chris Carson is, say, the starter for week one, that's going to remain? Or do you see Rashard Penny sort of just dropping big time? Because that difference has got to be huge in separation between where Penny's going and where Carson's going.
I think that Carson will go up. I mean, he definitely has to, but at the same time, fantasy football prognosticators are very stubborn in their takes, and they're very slow to move on things that they don't want to be true. In this case, people don't. I mean, I think it's stupid. I don't think Chris Carson is the better back. I think by the end of the season, Penny should work out, but that's also because Chris Carson, I don't think, will stay healthy all year. But I had to put somebody as a breakout, and I used this as a, hey, maybe we should listen to this. Maybe it's not the worst pick, because like I said, with Jordan Reed, he's going around guys that you could probably cut anyways, and you're banking on that upside. So I don't like it, but he's my breakout, Chris Carson. And then my bust, it's Russell Wilson.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, it all has to do with his price. He's the third quarterback off the board this year, 48th pick overall. And he had 37 of Seattle's 38 touchdowns last year, either through rushing or passing. He ended up as the number one quarterback because of this. And that's, you know, number one overall by the end of the year. That's nothing to sneeze at. But you had guys who, if their per game averages had held up all year, would have ended ahead of him. Aaron Rodgers missed time. Carson Wentz missed time. Deshaun Watson only played five games. Alex Smith didn't play the last game of the season. So they all played a little bit less than him, which allowed him to sort of become that number one because he was so good. But I just don't see him scoring 37 touchdowns again this year, rushing and passing, because of what we're talking about. We don't know what's going on with the running game, but they have two weapons there who, instead of throwing to Jimmy Graham within the 5-yard line like they did last year, they'll try to run the ball in. So that'll take away a handful of touchdowns. And then at the same time, who's he throwing 30 plus touchdowns to? Is he throwing them to, I mean, is some combination of Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, Amara Darbo, the string fellow, are they catching 30 touchdowns? Rashad Penny catching 4 or 5 touchdowns? I just don't see the math working out. They lost too much for Russell Wilson to return all his quarterback 3 value. Will he be a quarterback that's worth starting every week? Absolutely. Will he be a top 10 quarterback? I believe it. I believe so. But quarterback 3, that's a hard pass for me. That's a no for me, dog. I'm not touching him at that price. I'd rather have Cam, to be completely honest with you.
I completely honest with you, totally disagree, but that, like as you said, makes fantasy fun. So let's mark that down and see what happens.
Cam versus Russ.
Will Cam Newton be the number 3, or will Russell Wilson be the number 3?
Well, I mean, Jimmy G is going to be number 3 and number 2 and number 1. But other than that, no, I mean, we can see if Cam or Russell Wilson ends up higher. I honestly believe it to be Cam Newton. But we'll see. That's the fun of it.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think that'll do it. We're recording another one, and we went super long on this one. So I think we put the Wests in the books. And Mike, do you have anything that you want to say before we take off and record another one?
No, just rate, review, and enjoy listening to our podcast. And, you know, even if it's not 5 stars, even if it's 1 star that you find, hey, great, put a reason on there. Say, hey, you know what? Mike's voice is completely annoying, and get rid of him.
Yeah, well, Jeff sounds like a frog.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, whatever you think is the problem, we'll try to fix it for you. And, you know, any review is great. Thank you.
Just please acknowledge our existence, please. Yeah, all right. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
No, the chin isn't jutting enough.
Yes, Commissar.
It don't mean butt if it ain't got that jut.